Well, you guys, I've got some fun, exciting stuff for us today. Starting with God's word and the opportunity for us to put money in its proper place, not only with a message, but just right here, right now. If you recognize that money and possessions are a gift from God, then what we do as a part of our worship service every week would be really welcoming for you. And that's where we give an offering. We do recognize the biblical precedent set way before the law was ever put in place about a tithe. And we also recognize that giving beyond that is such a great invitation from God. So if you're ready to give and you want to do it online, you do it with our app, great. If you want to do it in this room, you can do it right back there at the little black box, which I don't know why I've never thought of that. If this place goes down, would that survive, John? Okay, great. All the secrets. Well, I got this really cool black book that has all kinds of great stuff in it. But there's treasure right now, and so I want to let you know we're going to get to a treasure hunt. Underneath five of your seats are treasures of various kinds. If you're next to a spot that has a treasure, you get to debate between you and your roommate on who gets to have it. Once you find those, we'll talk about them. If you're online, I'm sorry you don't get to be a part of this. Show up. Go ahead. Look. I made it easy for you. I'm not making you do a scavenger hunt. You may or may not have something underneath your seat. Nobody found anything up there? Oh, there's one thing. You found something. There's two somethings up there. There's three somethings down here. Yeah, there's one, but there's another one up there.
Another one?
Yep. Look close. Look close. Underneath the seat, I taped it. Blue tape. Anybody find anything down here? Tell me you got a Hershey's? That's a treasure. I happen to know that down here, there's a Bible verse waiting to be found, and of much lesser value, a $20 bill waiting to be found. And it might be in your row. John and I were on the same page to a certain degree. Oh, you found it. Oh, look. Surprise. All right. Anybody find a Bible verse down here? It's there. Please look again. I don't know what. So John and I are on the same page, and yet not, because I put it in here before we set the chairs up, but I'm pretty sure it's not gone. It was a pretty good tape job with the Bible verse. I'm not going to lie. It's up right underneath where your bum would be. Okay, you guys found a Bible verse? And Luc Mandrossier found a Bible verse? And anybody else find a Bible verse? I guess it's just going to be me with all that treasure today. Here's what I'm going to ask you guys to do with the treasure that you found. You can do whatever you'd like with it. Whatever you'd like with it. After today's message, or for those who found Bible verses during today's message, you could actually share that treasure. Online, you won't be able to hear it. They're going to read the verse, but the passage will be on the screen, so you can read along with it there. If you're so willing, whomever found the Bible verses, when we get to that spot, I'll point out to you. Still, look, I know there's a Bible verse down here somewhere. You guys can keep looking. Maybe you wouldn't pay attention. But there's five of them. And that was a little shout out to one of my favorite movies. There was five golden tickets in this movie. Anybody know that? The real one, Willy Wonka, the Chocolate Factory. Not the one with Johnny Damon. That was just weird. All right. Here we go. You went on a treasure hunt, and I kind of made it easy for you. So here we go. Today, we're going to look at what Jesus talks about with treasure, and he talks a lot about it, not only in this amazing Sermon on the Mount, but also in the amazing 66 books of this great book, the Bible. All the way through, he talks about treasure, and he talks about different kinds of treasures that we enjoy or that we don't enjoy. That one man's trash, another man's treasure is what the world has said, but there's things that we consider blessings that God actually says a woe. And there's things that we consider a challenge and maybe not even close to a blessing, but more like a woe, like, dang, I wish that didn't happen to me, that Jesus actually, in Matthew 5, calls a treasure. And so we're going to go to Matthew 6, 19 through 24. Please join me in it. Lord, this is your word. I ask that you help us to have our minds and our eyes, spirit, indeed, our hearts and our lives open to it. God, I pray this in your perfect name. Amen. All right, Matthew 6, 19 through 24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for he either will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. All right. As I was reading this, a song kept running through my head. Maybe you guys know it. I put a little bit of the verses up on this. Please look this up because there's a really cool story to this. It's a song by Jim Reeves called This World Is Not My Home. You might hear it with a twang. I'm just going to read it because I don't love twang. All right. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Where are your treasures? What do you treasure? And probably maybe even more importantly, what do you think Jesus meant by this teaching? Let's have some quick interaction. We got a little bit of time left. And we're going to get to it. I'm going to unpack some things. It's going to be fairly quick. I have a great opportunity to enjoy this weather later on after second service. It's our son's graduation party, and it's supposed to be about 80% chance of rain. Yeah, whatever. We're celebrating it anyway, so. What does it mean? What do you think Jesus means by this teaching? There's a lot to it, and you're like, Aaron, why don't you just unpack it? Well, why don't you help me think through it a little bit? Because I've got stuff to unpack, but I'd like to hear what you guys think. Dana says he wants us to keep what's really important in mind, and it's not the physical stuff. Amen. Good. Thank you. That's really good. What else? Does anybody hear this and go, always at church we talk about money. It's always that way. I think we talk about money elsewhere way more than we do church, but whatever. What do you guys think? Any other thoughts? Dana, I mean, that hits the nail on the head, right? And you have plenty of opportunity to recognize what's really important. I call that daily, but what do you guys think? Anything that's a takeaway for you already? You've spent time in this passage. This is a Sermon on the Mount, the greatest recording of Jesus' teaching collected in one location. Say that again. So Patrick says, nobody can steal or take away the treasure that God gives us. Amen and amen. Yeah, Jackie.
Jesus is the light of the world. And if he is in our heart, he is the light in our darkness.
Mm. So jumping to near the end of this little this passage of great teaching, you're saying Jesus is the light of the world. And he's lit us up, and nobody can take that from us, right? And he shines that out to everybody. Through us, we become the light of the world. What a treasure. Man, thank you.
It's a heart check.
It's a heart check. can't have two masters. Bethany, you've been in my life for a while, so you've heard this, I'm sure. But having two masters, right? Money or possessions or mammon or God is like putting your foot on the bumper of a car that's going to Wenatchee and putting your other foot on the bumper of a car that's going to Everett. You're going to have to make a choice pretty quick when they start going, right? And he's like, you're going to hate one and be devoted to the other. You're going to be devoted to one and hate the other. It's a heart check. Like, where's your treasure? That's good. Amen. That's wonderful, Jane. Thank you. So Jane says that time is a treasure, and that's a gift from God. That treasure is a gift from God, and how you spend it, right? Sure, what you think about that treasure, what you treasure. I'm going to get to it, but thank you. And we've got lots more, and I've got some discussion questions for you later. There's a couple things that stood out to me today. This man who passed away in 2007, Paul Menier, he was professor emeritus of biblical theology at Yale, which you might know this, that all the original big-time schools that we have back east started out as seminaries. And Yale was no different. Far from that, although they do have divinity school and all that. Here you go. He said, Jesus assaulted the whole human race at the point where that race is most sensitive. Its desire for security and superiority. Let that land where it may. But he's saying, look, Jesus came after people's deepest sensitivity, and that's that they want to be secure and that they want to be superior. And we use stuff to do that a lot. Remember the golden rule, right? He who has the most gold rules. That's not what Jesus said, but that's how the world works. Next was this thing from an InterVarsity commentary that absolutely unsettled me, and I wanted to share it with you off of this teaching of Jesus. We like to point out Jesus' rhetorical overstatement in this passage while ignoring why he used it to secure our attention. In other words, we're like, oh, no, he's overstating something. It's not, he doesn't mean that you shouldn't have anything. He's not saying that you're terrible if you love stuff. He's making a point. Well, we point out that he's overstating something without recognizing the point that he's making. So this morning, let's unpack this a little bit, and here's the rest of this. Most Christians disagree with what the prosperity preachers say over the radio and television. If you have enough faith in God, you give enough of your time to God, you give enough of your money to God, God outgives you entirely. And we have a problem with that, or we should have a problem with that, although there are many prosperity preachers that are very popular and super rich. And we should and do, many of us have problems with that. But the main difference between us and them in practice is often they provide a theological justification for their materialism where we don't. We just live like it. We say that it's wrong to live materialistically, and then we do. These prosperity preachers will say, God gave you life abundant, and life abundant looks like a fat truck and an amazing house and a trophy husband or a trophy wife or whatever else they've been teaching. Great health. Whereas all of those preachers and their spouses have died or will die. What do you do with that? I'm going to tell you the big takeaway that I had this last couple of weeks just chewing on this and being unsettled by it. Jesus wants to set us free from being enslaved to things and money. Jesus wants to set us free from that. Pete, thanks for taking care of me on that. So I want to unpack this again, and whoever ended up with the treasure, Matthew 6, 19 through 21, would you stand where you're at and read it loud? If you're willing, you found this treasure, would you read it out loud? Anybody get that? Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Is that the one that's just sitting somewhere? Does anybody have that treasure in their Bible that they'd like to share out loud? Right where you are, you can just stand and read it. You can read it online. Or you stand where you're at right now and read it at home.
I'll read it.
Please do. Thank you. It's just 19 through 21. Thank you.
Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be.
Thank you so much, Donna. All right. This one should bring a lot of things to your mind. I think something that's a couple things that already been mentioned, one of which is like, you can't have the treasure from God stolen from you. It doesn't rust, it doesn't run out, it's forever. But it brought me to this question: what does it mean to lay up treasures in heaven? Whoever has Luke 12, 19 through 21, before you read it, but I'll let you get yourself ready. Luke 12, 19 through 21, Jesus starts out with a little something with these people saying, look, your life doesn't consist in the abundance of your possessions. And then he tells this parable about a guy that has a bumper crop. I mean, it's so much stuff and so much wheat that he's like, gosh, I have to tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And then I can just kick back and enjoy life. Eat, drink, and be merry, as the old saying goes. And then this is what God says. Do you got it, Ming?
Yes.
Thanks. Hit it, please.
And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?
Thanks, Domingo. Just off of that, what do you think laying up treasures in heaven means off of this, just this little tiny bit that we've shared?
I think the treasures is sharing with people in need.
So, David, you're saying treasures are sharing with people who are in need.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Anybody else have a thought on that?
Yeah, I think it means like keeping your mind on eternal things. Like, you know, but it's pure and lovely and honorable.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, keeping your mind on eternal
things. Yeah. Thanks, Tiana. So Tiana's saying it's keeping your mind on eternal things, on what's good and pure and noble and righteous and living for that. And I'd say sharing is part of that, right? Any other thoughts off of that passage before we read the final one that's going to give us a little bit of help on what it means to have treasure in heaven? Yeah.
I think, well, really when you even look at this verse, it's talking more about the greed and like what it can do to your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're eager for money, you kind of like get away from faith and everything too.
Whew.
Not being here for money, but having that faith consistent is like really laying your treasures up and having saying like we even talked about in youth group, bring God's kingdom near.
Yes.
Not being so fixed on the world, but being so fixed on bringing the kingdom of like all this treasure.
Yes. Thanks, Domingo. That's rad. Let me encapsulate. Being greedy and hanging on to stuff and wanting what this world has to offer compared to living out the kingdom of God. Remember, we just prayed last week and probably multiple times in different ways this week. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And what that means is to treasure what God treasures, is what Domingo is saying. And they shared that in youth group. And I think it's exciting for me that the kids in the youth group and then the kids in our children's ministry are actually going through the same stuff that we're going through. And that's been a lot of fun. That's really good. Yeah, Ellie. Mm-hmm.
And I think that we need to be protective of our faith.
Yep.
And not allow the BBs and things like that to get in and dent it and damage it up. We have to protect
wow.
it.
Nice.
Keep it safe.
Yep, that's good.
While we're sharing, you know, don't throw your pearls before swine.
Whew. That's good. So Ellie's saying that we protect our treasure. And Jesus says as much, right? And she's saying, protect your faith. Don't just toss it out there for people who don't care. Protect it from attack and all that. And I'd say sharing it is a way for it to be attacked, but it's also a way for us to say, this is what's important to me. So though I don't challenge what you're saying, I'm saying there's a way for it to be both, right? Which is a little scary sometimes. Hey, let's get to this. 1 Timothy 6. 17 through 19. And you have that, Mr. Rossier.
Yes, sir.
Missy.
As for the wage in this present age, charge you not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of the wage, of the riches, but from God, for which he provides us with in everything to enjoy. They are good, they are to do good, to be weak and good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold on that which is true, is truly life.
Amen. Thank you so much. Look, this just encapsulates all that we've talked about. And so I'll say this, you can't take your riches with you, but you can send them on ahead, as the old saying goes. Living for God, like treasuring him. You put forth all that, you share this, you do good with what you've been given. That's saying, God, I believe in your kingdom, and that's what I want to see happen here. And one day, with no inhibition, we'll live that way forever. And so Jesus goes on. And in this, we see Matthew 6, 22 through 24. We finish up our passage for today. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy or good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Jesus is talking about seeing clearly and serving him. These go together, right? You hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be satisfied. You want what this world has to offer, and it will not only be stolen from you, rust, fall apart, but you won't be satisfied and you'll keep grasping and you won't get it. We won't get it. What I love in here is that there's this old saying that outlook determines outcome. So what you're looking for is what you're going to be heading towards, and that's what you will find. Seeking treasure that God says is treasure is critical. For you and for me, we have to ask, who's my Lord, not just what's my treasure. You guys, I love comfort. I love to be secure. I love to be able to have things in control. I love to be able to have money in the bank. I love to be able to have a house to go to. I love to have that house not be falling apart. I love all these things, and I actually esteem those too highly often. These passages don't just help me to see clearly today, but can every single day if we submit to the one who says this is what life is supposed to be. My friend Damon sits here with us with a hat on that says faith over fear. Daily, we have to remember that. And daily, you get to remember that. I get to remember that. But a lot of times, we'll look past it. Jesus' words strike right at the heart of our human condition, our selfishness. They challenge those who have a ton and are worried that they're going to lose it, and for those of us who don't have much and wish we did. And again, rather than explain away his hyperbole and his coming after us with these deep teachings, I don't want to consider Jesus a robber. I want to consider him the gift giver, the treasure giver. He's not trying to take anything from us. He's trying to give us life, true life. Will you finish with me at 1 Timothy 6 again? But we're going to go 6 through 11. Kind of a takeaway, kind of an offer for you and I to have some happy hunting. He's writing, Paul that is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. And there's so much good stuff, but like Colleen said, I don't have a lot of time to unpack their relationship, and we've talked about it already a bit. But go back and look. This guy was a Gentile believer in Jesus Christ. And he was a pastor, and he was a church planter. Timothy, that is. So he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. As my mom would say to me, naked you came in, naked you'll depart. And she would know, she saw me. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, like Domingo was talking about, into a snare, which is a trap, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Gosh, wouldn't ruin be enough? But now, and destruction. Let me just clear it up for you, Paul's saying, by the power of the Holy Spirit. You desire stuff so much, you long for stuff so much, you lust after stuff so much, it'll ruin you and destroy you. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. We've turned that into money is the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says. It's the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith. We've forgotten how to live by faith because we don't want faith. We want stuff. Carol, if your trip went exactly the way you planned, you wouldn't have exactly the joy and the satisfaction of how God provided in such amazing ways.
Absolutely not. It would have been boring.
Yeah. And more comfortable.
Yeah.
And yet, right? But we walk away. I'm not saying that you and I should take what God gives us and throw it away. I'm saying we should invest it. We should give it away. We should live in such a way that we hold it like this. As Lukman read, we've been given all these things as a gift from God to treasure and to enjoy, but not to hoard. All of us hear the word hoard and we think of that just disgusting show where the people's homes are just trash pits. Don't throw away that foil. You know, I mean, you're like, what? I'm not a hoarder like that. Back up, man. Don't talk about me like that. Don't let them be your standard. Maybe we hang on too much to stuff, even if we don't look like that. So many have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. The other time you hear the word pang is like the birth pangs. Like this is pain. This is agony. But as for you, O man or people of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. He goes on to say, fight the good fight, all these wonderful things. And so I offer up to you a chance this week, this day, to be happy, to be blessed in your hunting. Look for the treasure that doesn't wear out. Live for that. Give away all the things that you can. Many of us are like, I don't want to give so much away that then somebody has to give to me. Would that honestly be the worst thing? But that's not even what we know Jesus is saying. He's saying, share. I don't think, Jesus, the great socialist. That's not where my mind is at. But if Jesus was the head of socialism, it would be perfect. I don't think he loves capitalism. I don't think he loves communism. I don't think he loves Marxism. I don't think he loves socialism. I think he loves his Father and wants his kingdom to come and his will to be done, and he's inviting us to be a part of it. And your money and your possessions are to be used for the kingdom, not worshiped as the kingdom. So let that sit where it will, but please don't go, I'll just sit down, let it pass by me, and then go about my day. You guys, this is hard for me. I wonder if my own home budget and church budget, which I help lead both of them and help establish both of them, I'm wondering if we're actually doing with all the stuff that we've been given what we're supposed to be doing. And I want that to be not just a wonder, I want that to transform me. I want Jesus to transform me. So I have some questions for you. The first one, and I'll just end on this one. Was Jesus anti-possessions and wealth? Why or why not? Talk about that. Maybe meet somebody new and talk about that with them. Maybe share these questions with people online. Maybe go home if you're on Facebook and share this message, this passage, this opportunity with people. And as it is, with the money that you found, with the chocolate that you found, with the verses that you found, life is so much better when you share. Let's pray. Father, we want you and you alone to be the one that we make much of. And we love, absolutely love to mean that, but it's hard to live it. So would you help us who have been given such great treasure to be people who give away treasure, because we can never, ever lose it. God, you're so awesome, and I thank you that money and things are gifts and opportunities to share. Would you help us not to be people that hang on to possessions and cling to stuff, but that we would share it. We would use it, but that we wouldn't be people that are greedy. We'd be people that are generous. Help us to live that out, we pray, in your perfect name. Amen.